Hey, nurses! This National Nurses Week 2025, it's time to celebrate you, the backbone of healthcare, with a vacation you truly deserve. Join Nurse.com for a luxurious group cruise aboard Virgin Voyages, sailing May 9th through May 14th. It's a celebration like never before, designed exclusively for nurses. Picture this. Tranquil ocean views, world-class amenities, and the chance to connect with your nursing community while leaving the stress of long shifts far behind. Plus, when you join us, you'll receive $200 in onboard credit per cabin to enjoy spa treatments, premium excursions, merchandise, and more. You spend every day caring for others. Now it's your turn. Let's trade scrubs for sandals and sail into National Nurses Week with joy, connection, and well-deserved relaxation. Register now to join the group trip at nurse.com/cruise. That's nurse.com/cruise. We can't wait to celebrate you. Hey, nurses. Welcome to the Nurse Dot Podcast, giving nurses validation, resources, and hope one episode at a time. Today on Nurse Dot Podcast.
In today's special Halloween edition, host Kara Lunsford has invited me, her wife and producer, to co-host yet another episode of Haunted Healings. We will bring to life some spine-tingling stories that were submitted to us by our incredible Nurse.com community. So settle in for some chilling tales. Kara, what is it you always say right about now?
I'm your host, Kara Lunsford, registered nurse and VP of Community at nurse.com. Welcome to Haunted Healing.
Hi.
Season 5. Can you believe it?
Season 5?
We've done it. We've done it. We've officially gotten to Season 5 of the Nurse Dot Podcast, and we're opening on Halloween with another haunted healing. For those of you who don't remember, I'm Kara Lunsford. I am the host of this podcast, and this is my lovely wife, Dawn Lunsford, joining. She joined us last year for this same type of episode, not exactly the same because we have different stories this time. Say hello, Dawn Lunsford.
Hi. Hi, audience, Nurse Dot audience. Usually I'm behind the scenes, and today on once a year she lets me come out and actually be on camera. Usually she keeps me in a cage where I'm just recording her.
That's right. That's where you normally keep your spouse, right?
Yes.
You keep them in a cage, you throw them some food every once in a while. That's how it works, right?
I'm supposed to get food, is what you're saying. You forgot that part.
No, this is why you get food. We give you like the leftovers after we've had dinner. Okay. All right.
Speaking of haunted houses, do you have some scary stories?
Yes.
Okay.
We have more submissions again this year. Also, thanks to Show Me Your Stethoscope. I posted it over there because we were kind of getting crickets for a minute. I'm like, hey, where are all of our nurse.com people to like tell us their scary stories? So I went ahead and I shared it over on Show Me Your Stethoscope, which is like the largest Facebook group of nurses and also a pretty awesome nonprofit, I will say. So hats off to them, Janie Garner, their founder, and all of the people that work behind the scenes, like Anthony and Jen and Allie. So they all work very hard and they don't get paid. So just wanted to give a nice little shout out to them because we have all these submissions because of them. All right.
So these are stories that nurses have sent in of scary stuff that has happened to them as nurses?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So it's happened probably in their place of work. Again, I did not go through and read these ahead of time because I like to be surprised and a little bit scared in the moment. So forgive me if I stumble through or have to repeat something because, again, haven't read it. Or if I have to pause for a second because I'm like, oh, that might be a HIPAA violation.
None of that.
Any of those spirits that might be recognizable. All right. Well, first and foremost, we should just say Dawn and I are kind of Halloween enthusiasts.
We do a haunted house every year at our house. We've done, what, 7 or 8 now?
I mean, it's at least 8.
At least 8, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really do it during COVID because that would not have worked, really, bringing people inside of a small... Although we could have said that we required face masks. So we did not do it during COVID, but yes, we have done it every year and it has grown in popularity, so much so that you were actually in an Uber where someone recognized or knew about our haunted house, right?
Yes. Yes. They didn't live near us, but friends of theirs lived near us. And they're like, do you live near this street and this street? I said, yeah, that's our house. And she said, oh my God, I've heard all about your house. My friends go to it every year. And now we've got a line down the street to get in. It's really fun.
Yeah. People keep asking if we're going to charge, but we don't charge because it's just a community type thing that we like to do. But this year we also have like a full street. So have now a couple doors down, we have some set designers who also have a lot of props. We have a lot of props. So we just decided to do our block and we've put lights out and we're going to do projections and it's been really fun decorating the whole street.
So yeah.
If you live in LA, you can come over Halloween night, check it out. We're on Mammoth Avenue in Valley Glen and we're between, what's our street?
Burbank
and Collins.
And Collins.
Yeah. So come check us out. All right.
And that would be actually tonight because this show, as we record it, is going to air on Halloween.
Yeah. Right. So they'll be like, it's too late. I'm just now hearing about it. So anyway, come next year.
Come in.
All right. So I'm going to kick it off. Unless, Dawn, you've got like a story or anything that you want to share or a scary story that you want to share right off the bat.
I do actually that I wanted to share last year and the podcast got away from us and we had so many great submissions. We didn't get to all of our stories. But I would love to just kick it off with the story of the time that you took me to an abandoned hospital. We thought it would be fun to walk around the wing of an abandoned hospital. I don't know why.
Well, it wasn't really abandoned.
No, it wasn't abandoned.
I mean, so they had built a new hospital and the old hospital on the old floor was being used for like administrative purposes.
Right. So the power was still technically on because we used the elevators.
Yeah.
But there were no lights.
People go in there.
There were no lights on the floor that we went on. It was just the daylight coming through the windows and it had a very creepy abandoned feel because you're used to it bustling with nurses and techs and doctors and patients and families. And it was just, well, dead quiet. So we take the elevator to some random floor and the elevator doors open and it's just this creepy vibe. And I turned to you and I said, do not bring any spirits home. You know, they love you and they love to follow you around and do not bring them home. So you're like, oh, honey, I'm not going to bring any spirits home. So we walk around, we got a little creeped out. We left that night. We were home and I was sitting on the couch. I think I was reading and you were in the bedroom or something. And I swear to God, I feel these tiny little hands, as if they're, you know, when kids do their cruising, when they're learning to walk, push down on the cushion where I'm sitting as if it's like trying to prop itself up. And I look down and I'm like, OMG. I can't see anything, but I can feel it as if that cushion is pushing down. And I'm like, Kara, you brought home something. And then you had an experience that same night with the sheets.
Oh, yes. Yes. I felt the sheets move or pull.
Like someone was pulling them
off you. Like someone was like pulling them. Yeah, it was. Yes. And I think we just said, you can go now. Like
go into the light.
You can go now.
Yeah, they did. Nothing happened after that. But yeah,
no, but that was. It is always a little creepy go into an area where you know that there's been a lot of death. You know that it just does feel a little bit creepy because there's just this kind of undercurrent of feeling like there's still some spirits there. Or at least some energy left over, I guess.
Yeah, something.
All right, that's my
I'm just
going
to go kind of in order. Some of these are a little bit longer. Some of them are a little bit shorter. But we'll just kind of go through and we'll banter a little bit in between. All right. So first and foremost, we've got one. Actually, Karen R. Yes, we do have a name. Okay, this one is from Karen with a K, R. All right, here we go. I worked in a hospital ER, and one night we had a deceased patient to take to the morgue. It was a busy night, so other nurses and I took the body on a stretcher. We were both 8 months pregnant, due on the same day. As we were getting the stretcher into the morgue, we couldn't find the light switches on the door, so it was totally dark in there. Apparently, someone before us had the same problem and just pushed another body on a stretcher in there and left. Oh my gosh. Well, we pushed ours in and it banged into the other one. The jolt caused air in the first one's lungs and throat to suddenly escape via the vocal cords.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my. It made the worst god-awful gurgling moan. We almost had those two babies right then and there. We waddled as fast as we could out of there. Then we called the head nurse and maintenance to get down there and make sure both the bodies were, in fact, dead. Both of us started on maternity leave the next day.
Can you imagine pushing?
First of all, you're already like pushing. This is not uncommon, obviously, to be like having to transport a body to the morgue. But pushing into an elevator, things being dark, and someone had just left their body on a stretcher.
No, thank you.
Come on. That is not cool, people. That's not cool.
No, thank you.
Oh my gosh. That was so funny. All right. Let's go to the next one.
Okay. Thanks, Karen R.
Thank you, Karen R. Okay, so this one's kind of short. It's just a short, like, one sentence. I worked at / in hospital skilled nursing facility unit. So, of course, we had a lot of deaths. Every so often, within a few days of dying, the person would complain of a little boy with red pajamas that was bothering them and wouldn't let them sleep. So that's from Raylene H.
Oh, my gosh.
Raylene, first of all, your name is spelled almost like my sister's, which is Kayleen. So it's literally almost the exact same spelling, but with an R. So it sounds to me like right before this person died, they would have complained that they saw a little boy with red pajamas. Last year, we had somebody also in red, didn't we? Like somebody, like there was...
I don't remember.
I feel like this is a common thing. Like they wear red.
Oh.
I don't know.
I would think they'd be seen in whatever they were walking around in, you know, at the time.
The red pajamas?
Yeah. Like they wore red pajamas.
I know,
pajamas.
But I keep feeling like we hear stories of like.
I don't know.
These ghosts who are wearing like a red jacket. Wasn't that guy wearing a red jacket a red coat or something
well,
like that?
Well, if you all go back and listen to last year's episode, you can answer that question
okay,
for us.
Okay, so everybody go back and listen to last year's and tell me if there's some sort of commonality between like wearing red. Okay, so thank you, Raylene. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
All right, next one. Also a little short one. I work in a long-term care home that at one time was an orphanage. It's listed as one of the most haunted places in Georgia. Residents will start saying that they see a little boy in a red hat.
Oh, you're right.
And then we have people pass away. It's creepy.
There's something there.
I did not read. Now you can tell that I didn't read these ahead of time because I'm already surprised by the very next one that said that there was a little boy wearing a red hat.
Maybe there's a store.
Was that in Sixth Sense? Wasn't there something about red? In Sixth Sense?
Write to us, people, if you know the answer
maybe
to our
not.
Question.
Maybe there wasn't anything that had to do with red. Okay. But
maybe there's a little store up there where they only sell red stuff. And they're like, sorry.
I can't remember.
You can only haunt in red.
You can only haunt in your red stuff. All right. Let's see. Okay. I've got another one here. This one's a little bit longer. Okay. So I put this on here before, but I feel like I really saw the devil. Just super creepy. That's already super creepy. Okay. Here we go. Attention, amazing travel nurses. Discover Court Furniture Rental for stress-free furnishing solutions. Perfect for those always on the move, Court, spelled C-O-R-T, delivers and sets up furniture, housewares, and electronics nationwide in just 48 hours. With Court, moving is easy. Choose from curated packages or pick up items to suit your style. When it's time to move on, Court handles it all. There's an exclusive offer, too. Use code NURSE15 at checkout for 15% off your monthly lease. Valid for travel nurses only. Visit court.com/nurse. That's CORT.com/nurse to get started today. With Court, the more you lease, the more you save. Terms and conditions apply. See the website for details. We were coding a patient in the ICU. We had to shock him several times. No pulses, no breathing. They took the ambu bag off his face and we paused CPR to shock him again. And I looked at him and his eyes were bulging out, staring at me, and his teeth were bared. And he looked totally demonic.
Oh no.
One of the other nurses saw it too. And when we looked back, he was still normal lying there. We ended the code after one last defibrillation, and he was pronounced dead. I had headaches for 2 days after that. Ooh!
Oh, God.
Gosh, I got the chills.
So, like, he got possessed right before he passed? Is that what she's saying?
Maybe he was not a good dude.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he wasn't a good
maybe
dude.
Maybe they were coming to get him. Ooh. I don't know.
I've heard a similar story before.
Have you?
Yeah. On one of my crazy podcasts I listen to. I can't remember which one, but something just like that. That is terrifying.
Okay, listeners, for those of you who don't know, Dawn is obsessed with near-death experiences.
I am.
It's just the NDE here all the time. Anytime I hear her listening to something, I'm always like, oh, there they are. Walking into the light.
But then they come back
coming
and tell
back
us about
with stories.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, well, I'm just going to give like a shout out to Debbie B. Did I say who said the previous one?
No.
with the boy in the red hat?
Mm-mm.
That was Susan C.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
we're clearly not telling everyone like their full name, you know. So Debbie B was the one who thinks she possibly saw the devil.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Thanks, Debbie.
Oh, so creepy. Ugh. Creepy, creepy. Okay. On to the next one. I worked in a lockdown memory care unit as a CNA, probably like 16 years ago now. It was just myself and the nurse on the unit that night. The tub turned on twice. Oh, you can't even explain that one, right? Like,
no.
Okay, so like, yeah. I'm going to keep going. And the outside porch kept turning on. We eventually just left it, even after we made multiple trips to shut it off. Needless to say, I'm science-based and actually prefer the lab to patient care, but I really don't have another explanation. And then there was my old-ass facility before that. That place was a trip. Due to a lockdown gero psych floor, so that's like a gerontology psych floor, so old people psych floor. Sorry, it's probably not very PC. You had to have a special key to get the elevator to the top floor. I hated being up there alone in night shift. That stupid elevator would come open up and no one would be there. The trash barrels rolled down the hallways. I swear, if we'd had cell phones with cameras like we do now, I'd for sure had filmed the creepiness there. It no longer exists. It was closed down circa 2008.
Whoa.
That's creepy.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what it is about. I mean, you hear about electrical stuff all the time.
Water doesn't turn.
And that seems really common to hear about electrical stuff.
Yeah.
But water turning on?
Yeah. There has to be a physical effort for a valve to open up and pour water. And then you shut it off and it starts again.
But remember when we went to that creepy place? Now, granted, the water didn't turn on. But remember, I was trying to turn the bath on in that place that I already didn't want to be in.
Yes.
Benita? Where was that?
Benicia, California.
Benicia, California.
We got booked into one of, someone booked it for us, but we got booked into one of the most haunted hotels in California or North America or something.
Yes.
And we pulled up and Kara looked at it and went, oh, hell no. And I'm like, it's charming.
That's not
it's
charming.
It's turn of the century.
No, that's not charming. It wasn't charming. It literally had like those old drapes in the windows where you're just waiting for someone to look out, like where they're just pulling it aside and you see somebody in the window that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
It was this big white building and it looked really old. And Benicia was originally the state capital for California, like before Sacramento, and super old. But when we were in there, it had like that four-poster bed. It also had those old Victorian pictures on the wall where like the people are really stoic and just look angry.
Yeah.
But you're pretty sure they're following you with their eyes when you move through the room.
It looked like the Haunted Mansion.
Looked like the Haunted Mansion. And we went into the bathroom. I was like, I'm just going to take a bath. Maybe if I take a bath, I'll feel better. And I was leaning over to turn the water on and literally felt something push me from behind.
Yes.
And I thought it was you. And then I realized you were really far away and it couldn't have been you. So we were like, we're leaving. And then we ended up at like a Best Western.
Yes. So, and I was like, it's middle of the night. I just want to sleep. Wah.
I know. But I was like, you can sleep here by yourself. It was also like that elevator up to that room.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a little cage.
Tiny. And it made that sound and in the dead quiet.
And nobody was there to let us in. We weren't even there that late. Yeah. And that makes me think that even the people who would be at the reception desk, they don't stay there at night.
No, they don't want to be there past like 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So they just leave you a key and they're like, good luck. Good luck to you. Yeah. Well, we left that key back on that desk and we were like, good luck to you.
Do you want to quickly tell them the story the bartender told you about
the
bottle?
Okay. So I will tell really quickly in between these stories that after we decided not to stay at that place, Dawn was there for a guitar retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone over to what was like a little saloon. It was kind of like a saloon at the bottom of that hotel. And it was a restaurant saloon. And it was right across from where you were having your retreat.
But the same hotel we had
at the same hotel
in.
That we had originally been booked at. So I went in just to have a drink, and of course there's other people there, and have some food. And I was sitting at the bar and the guy said to me, are you staying here at the hotel? And I said, well, we were. And he's like, oh, were you in one of the haunted rooms? And I said, yeah. I'm like, so this place is haunted. He goes, oh, 100%. He's like, one time we had some people sitting at the bar just down to the left of you. And all of a sudden I look over and there's a bottle hovering in the air right in front of them. And then it dropped to the floor. He also heard plates crashing in the kitchen in the back. And then he went back there and everything was fine. There was no plates broken on the floor or anything. He said it sounded like a whole
shelf of plates had crashed.
And then he had seen things out of the corner of his eye and stuff like that. But he said, oh, you were in the Victorian room?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one's definitely haunted.
Yeah. Yes, we know.
Yeah, we know.
So we left.
All right. Here we go. On to the next. All right. So this one says, I heard a lot of patients talking about the man in the corner with red eyes. Okay, I'm just saying red. There's another thing. Okay.
It's a thing.
Although red eyes does kind of just seem demonic and creepy. Yeah. So the man in the corner with red eyes. but usually they would then be visited by family members who were welcoming them to the other side and passed peacefully soon after. One time, though, this man kept talking about the man in the corner, and he was terrified. It was so tough, and I was so anxious to go into that room, but gave him the best care I could. His daughters did not visit, and when I called them to notify them that he had passed, they shared that he had abused them in every way throughout their lives, and to send him to the morgue and they would figure it out.
Whoa.
They felt they needed to explain, but I just emphasized with them and followed their lead. Afterward, the housekeeping team came out of the room and refused to go back in because they felt the dark energy of the room. I called the chaplain to come and bless the room. It was years ago, but I remember it clearly, including the pure fear that man had as he died.
Ooh, I'll bet he did.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh.
Well, wondering where I guess he's wondering maybe he's getting going. What he deserved.
Wow.
Wow. Whew, that's tough.
Yeah.
Kristen M. Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks, Kristen.
Oh, that was a good one and super creepy and very sad, obviously, yeah. for his children
yeah.
who had to endure him. Well, there you go. He's passed over now. Don't know where he is. Okay. So this is a little short one from Annie R. Nothing much creepier than paper towel dispensers going off with no one in the room.
Oh, no, no, no.
But there do seem to be particular rooms that are, quote unquote, unlucky. Patients always get sent out codes, etc. Remember we had something kind of like that? It was room 8.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
it like room 8 in the ER? And you were like, why don't they just make that into something else, yeah. like a bathroom? And I was like, you can't just change a room.
Yeah, but no one would use it.
I know, nobody wanted to use it except for the people that were like, that's not a thing. And then they would put people in that room 8 yeah. and stuff would happen.
Stuff would happen.
All right. So, well, that was super, that is creepy. Just things going off by themselves, yeah. always creepy.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the next one. I work in a rehab medical center that used to be a hospital. We've had bathroom call lights go off with no one in there. Paper towel dispensers dispense paper towels without being near it. I've heard really creepy stories from coworkers and night security about seeing a young woman by the elevator on camera. When he went to go check on her, she disappeared even off the camera.
What?
So the security, hospital security must have seen her on the camera, but then and then she also wasn't on the camera either.
Whoa.
See, I always think like I haven't really seen a full apparition of a person.
Like my mom has and
yeah, your mom has. And our son saw his grandfather when he was really little after he had died. He said he saw him walk down the hallway. But he was only like 3 at the yeah. time. I do have a picture in my phone, remember, of like
yeah.
what they saw at our place. So, all right.
Which you should tell that.
I am going to tell that. I think I told it last time, didn't I? Or maybe I didn't.
I don't know.
Oh, that's actually it. That's all we have.
Well, we'll have to tell some of our stories.
Okay. Well,
we've got a few of them.
I actually think, okay, so here we go. I think, Dawn, that you should tell your story about Las Vegas.
Oh, yes.
I definitely think this is one of the creepiest stories you've ever, maybe because you were like touched essentially,
oh,
which
my gosh.
Like just the way it all happened. But okay.
Yes. I had gone to Las Vegas with my girlfriend at the time. We were going to see a band play that night, and we'd gone with a couple other friends. It was after work. We flew in, so it was 8 o'clock or so when we got in, and we went to go see the band. Then we came back, and when we checked into the room, there was this huge mirror that just was creepy. It just looked like a portal from hell. Most mirrors don't make me feel that way, but there, both of us were like, what is that? Just is a creepy mirror, and we didn't know why. We were originally going to stay at the Golden Nugget, which is where we always stayed downtown, but it was all booked up. So we stayed at the Fremont, which is one of the oldest hotels in Las Vegas. So a lot has happened in the Fremont. And if you look it up, you'll find things about murders and things like that. We had gone to bed, and after watching some TV and just drifting off to sleep, it was really quiet. And I'm just sort of floating around, not asleep yet. And all of a sudden, I feel the weight of a full-grown man laying on top of me. I'm on my side, just like pinning me down. And I thought, oh my God, I must have drifted off to sleep. How did this person get here? So my heart is racing. And the first thing I'm thinking is, how could they have been in here and not seen, because they didn't come in the door. I mean, we were pretty much awake, just like laying there. How did this person get? I'm like, how did they get in? Were they in the bathroom? No, we went in the bathroom. There's no under the bed in a hotel. So I know who is this? And so I just tried to calm myself. And I said, I'm not moving. I'm not saying anything. I'm not until I know what this person wants. And then as I sat there quietly, I got this kind of image in my head and this feeling that this person wasn't trying to hurt me. They just wanted to feel close to something. And almost like maybe there was some sort of developmental disability or something about this person that wasn't so much of a threat, but I was still scared to death because I'm feeling like 190 pounds laying on top of me. And I don't move. And I get this image of my head of a man sitting at the edge of a bed with his head in his hands, sobbing like he had just lost all his money or something horrible had happened. And possibly took his own life there. So I was like, wow, this is... So that image went away, and then my ears started to buzz, like as if you're going to pass out. And my ears got very loud and hot and buzzy. And I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm going to pass out. But I realized what it was just this energy, like... And it just vacuumed out, and then it was dead silence. And I'm thinking, now it's...
And the weight was gone.
And the weight was gone. And I was like, well, it's over. And I'm like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm looking around. I knew that there was nobody in the room. There's no way they could have gotten out. Just the weight was gone. And I said to my girlfriend at the time, I said, I don't know if you're awake. I don't know how to explain what just happened. And wide awake, she says, I know, I felt it too. And we both just jump out of bed, turn the lights on, and like, what happened for you? For her, it wasn't the same thing. She's like, kept feeling this surge of energy, like buzzing and then vacuuming out and then buzzing. And she goes, I thought I was having an anxiety attack. I didn't know what was going on, but I kept feeling this energy buzzing and then stopping and buzzing and stopping. And so we're like, we're going downstairs and we're going to gamble for a while we're getting out of this room. And so we're like, all right, let's just calm down. Went downstairs, did some gambling. I asked around. I told some of the people that were working there, hey, has anyone ever killed themselves here? And they're like, why? And so we told them what happened. They were fascinated. They're like, let me see what I can find out. And they didn't really have a whole lot of information other than, well, we did hear this place is haunted and we're asking, trying to find out, more detail. We'll let you know. So we gamble till about 5 in the morning. We're just exhausted now. We're like, oh, and the longer you're downstairs, you're gambling and there's life going on, the more you start going, did that really happen? You start talking yourself out of it, which is why I think in the movies, they go back into the house. When you say, don't go back into the house, they always go back in the house. And so we went back to the room, watched some TV again. And we're like, I think I'm ready. I'm pretty tired. So I shut off the TV. We lay down and I just start drifting off. And I'm like, oh, it's nice and quiet. It feels good. It feels good. And then as I'm laying there quietly, I feel someone crawling up my body from my feet to my shoulders, hand over hand, and the weight coming back. And I'm like, that's it. Lights went on, threw off the sheets. I said, I am not staying here another minute. That's it. So we called around. We got a room at another nice modern hotel in Vegas, but we couldn't get in until check-in time. So we had to like kill all this time. So we went downstairs and had breakfast and stuff. And I talked to the manager and I said, has anyone ever killed themselves here? And she goes, not in that room. And I'm like, but people have killed themselves. Well, then she told me a story about a man from Utah, Mormon man, actually, Mormon family that came. Why? Maybe they weren't strict Mormons, I don't know, but they came to Vegas, and I think just to take the kids around and stuff. And in that hotel. They stayed there. He had somehow gotten the gambling bug and gambled away everything they owned. Everything. He just didn't stop and supposedly killed himself before they made the windows that closed. Yeah. You can't do that anymore. But someone had called from a neighboring hotel saying, there's a body hanging out one of your windows. And, you know, so they think that maybe that's the connection. But that was probably the creepiest thing that's ever happened to me.
Wow.
Very creepy.
Yeah. Every time you tell that story, and it's really funny because last night we had a poker game for my birthday because my birthday's coming up. And one of the people that was here was actually there at that time. We didn't have the conversation last night, but in the past, you ended up talking to her about it. And she was like, oh, yeah.
Right. She was one of the friends.
The mirrors were very, like, really creepy.
Yeah. And she doesn't believe in any of this stuff. But she was one of the people that went on that trip to Vegas to see this band play. And she was with us, yeah, as you said, last night. I'm telling her this story because I see her at breakfast the next day in Vegas. And I'm like, you're not going to believe this because I don't think she's going to believe this at all. And so I tell her the story thinking she's going to roll her eyes at me. She doesn't believe in the paranormal, very scientific, math based. And she goes, oh, yeah, that mirror's a portal to hell. And I'm like, well, you know, you could have told me that.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, they were pretty creeped out, too.
Well, I think that we had another successful haunted healing.
We did. This was good. Thank you for your submissions. We love the nurses' stories. And go back and listen to our last one. That was fun. There was some other great stories. If you haven't heard the first haunted healing, that was so fun to do. And thanks for your submissions, nurses.
Yeah. And I'm going to thank Dawn up front for all of the sound that she's going to do, because in this episode, in these haunted healing episodes, she uses all of her incredible skills with sound and really makes these episodes come to life with all kinds of creepy sound effects and things like that. So
thanks.
I'm excited to hear this one.
Hopefully you all enjoyed it.
All right. Love you all. Happy Halloween.
If you're a nurse or nursing student that enjoyed this episode, visit us at nurse.com/community, where you can find the Nurse Dot Discussion Group, a place where we dissect each episode in detail and delve deeper into today's topics. Nurse Dot is a Nurse.com original podcast series. Production, music, and sound editing by Dawn Lunsford. Production coordination by Rhea Wade. Additional editing by John Wells. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in to the Nurse Dot podcast. Until next time, keep spreading the love and the care.